Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our great Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the rich fruit that it brings to bear in our lives as we study your truth, as your Spirit teaches our hearts. And we pray that that very thing would happen today, that we would be encouraged and strengthened, that we would be sustained and fed by your word. Give us ready hearts and teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm wondering what you would consider to be a natural act for a human being, something that just comes automatically. I always think of one thing that is not a natural act for human beings, and that is swimming. If you've ever watched little kids learning to swim, and particularly when it's time to learn to dive, it's just great to watch. This is not natural. Whatever the evolutionists say about gill slits and warm oceans, nobody watching a group of children learn to swim can think this is normal for most people. But what does come easy? What is a natural act? For at least one of our four, it was talking. Just comes rolling out. Before she could form words, she was making sounds. And then she had to learn the words, but it came naturally. For another of ours, it was walking. Couldn't wait to walk. It was, what, eight and a half months? And she was stomping around. Wait, where'd she go? You're not used to that when it's your first. She still had to learn to walk, but it came naturally. And that's how it works with something else that comes naturally. It comes naturally and you can learn. You have to learn and you can learn and be better. Now we've been thinking for the last several times I've been up here about prayer, and specifically about prayers offered to God by believers. Now, when we come to Christ, there are radical and fundamental changes that take place in us. I mean, it's a complete transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and the new things have come. And so when Jesus Christ takes hold of your life, everything changes. You get a new nature, and new things come naturally. Our sins are forgiven forever. We're related to God based on the righteousness of Christ, not based on our attempts to produce something. And in this new state that Christ brings to our existence, we operate in this totally different system. We're not trying to get in good with God or impress God with our deeds. We do good things because we love the one who saved us already. And rather than relating to God out of duty or out of fear of punishment, we relate out of love. And so after this change has been worked in us at salvation, one of the most natural things we can do is pray. And we do. We praise him. We thank him for the good things he gives us. We confess our sins to him when we sin again. We express our longings. We make our requests. It's part of what it is to have been made a believer in Jesus Christ. And it comes so naturally. It's like eating or walking or sleeping. Now, obviously, genuine believers in Christ are not the only people who pray. People in other religions pray. False converts to Christianity pray. If you are a Christian, then before you were a Christian, it's very likely that you prayed sometimes. But once the transformation is made, it's different. Now we're praying to a God who has already accepted us in Jesus Christ. We can go to him with confidence, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he's going to grant us the very best of things. Yet at the same time, prayer can sometimes be difficult. It's something that you sort of have to learn, even though it comes naturally. It's something you can get better at. There is a standard in Scripture that has always intimidated me. It's in James 5:16, and it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then the example is given of Elijah, who prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain one drop on Israel for 3.5 years. And then, when that period of judgment had passed, Elijah prayed to the Lord that it would rain, and it rained like crazy the same day. Most of us would be somewhere short of that standard of effectiveness in prayer, but wow. In fact, most people struggle with being consistent, with knowing what to say. So for a Christian, it's perfectly natural to pray, and we all do, and yet we can learn, we can improve, we can grow. So today we're going to be thinking about learning and improving and growing in our prayer life by looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Colossians 4, beginning with verse 2. Scripture says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Now, from these verses, I want to give you three reminders about your prayer life that will help it be more effective. And the first reminder is that prayer is a challenge. It's a challenge. We need to know that going in. It helps if you know that something hard is going to be hard, because knowing that, you're going to try a little harder, dig a little deeper. When I turned 16 and could drive myself to a job, and I wanted money to drive that car that I got to use sometimes, I got a job. Now, I had been struggling in school. I put things off because I had too much time, and then they pile up, and then you don't do them very well when you have so much to do all at once, because now it's due and it's the last minute. But I got that job, and I'm going, this is going to be hard. You better get it together, because your grades can't really go down from here. That would not work, so they have to go up. And so then if I had an hour, I would use it to do the homework, because later I'm going to be working. After that, it's going to be late, and I don't want to do homework at midnight, and so on. And my grades went through the roof just because I tried a little harder. The school didn't get any easier. I just quit procrastinating. There's something in us that rises to a challenge. If a coach were to say to his team in the locker room pep talk right before the game, "These guys are lousy ball players, and we ought to be able to beat them with our eyes closed," his team's not going to try very hard. After all, I've got my eyes open. That should be plenty, right? On the other hand, if the coach says, "These guys we're playing tonight are tough, and they're ready, and if we're going to beat them, we're going to have to use everything we've learned, and everybody on this team is going to have to put forth their best effort," and if it's a real coach, he's going to say 110%, but we know that's not real, right? That team is going to try. They're going to dig a little deeper and try harder. And I love when you see it in little kids. You say to a little kid, "You can't do that. You're not big enough." What's the kid going to do? Everything in his power to prove you wrong. "I can do it. I'm big enough." This is not a bad thing. God has put something in us that goes, "Oh yeah, I'll show you." And if we point that at the right stuff, wonderful things can happen. If we can harness the "oh yeah, I'll show you" attitude and point it at our prayer life, we'll become much more effective in prayer. Dig a little deeper. Try a little harder. If you know it's a challenge, you take it more seriously, you make a better effort. Now, this text freely acknowledges the challenge that we face if we want to be effective in prayer. If we're going to accomplish anything of significant value in our personal prayer life, we're going to have to work at it. It doesn't mean it's going to be the hardest thing you ever did, but you are going to have to work at it. Everything that can come up will come up to distract you from prayer. Your schedule is going to be an issue. People that you have to interact with are going to be an issue. Your devices are a huge issue. But the biggest issue is what's going on inside of your head. You'll interrupt yourself. You'll distract yourself. Your mind will wander off into la-la land, and you'll go, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, prayer. You'll have to fight sleepiness. You'll have to endure when your mind goes blank and you can't think of what to pray. You'll have to do battle with the feeling that this really isn't doing anything. I mean, I'm just me here in this place. You're up against some challenges. It isn't just you. It's just the way prayer is. It's work. It's work worth doing. But if you're going to be any good at it, you got to get past what comes naturally and work at it a little bit. And this passage reminds you that you can dig deeper, try harder, make a commitment, and be effective. In verse 2 again, it says, Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer. The original Greek word here means to persist in something. How many of you have ever devoted yourself to something for a minute? Or until the next meal? Or until the next day? Well, I'm devoted, but that's pizza. The diet can start again next week, right? This is this long-term thing where you continue to be devoted. You're going to adhere to this thing you've committed to. You're going to be steadfastly attentive to it. That doesn't happen without a commitment. This may mean you need to schedule it. You'll have to guard it. You'll have to work at it. And don't be surprised when there are distractions. That's just normal. It says here, keeping alert in it. This word can also be translated keeping watch, like you're the watchman on the wall, keeping watch. You got to stay awake. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to be very attentive. If it were easy to stay focused in prayer, Paul wouldn't have put this part in. God wouldn't have had him put this part in. Even your own attitude can be a significant issue if you're laboring in prayer. It says here, literally, in thanksgiving. In thanksgiving. So while you're devoting yourself to prayer, while you're being attentive in prayer, you've got to guard your own attitude so that you are thankful for all of the blessings that God gives you and even for the opportunity to bring your requests before Him. So all of this is an acknowledgement that prayer is a challenge. You have to devote yourself. You have to keep alert and awake. You have to keep a good attitude. And if all that's necessary, then it's challenging. We shouldn't be surprised if it's hard sometimes. You have to give it a little more. So that's the challenge of prayer. This passage gives us another important reminder. This one concerns the scope of prayer. I mean, what do you do when you're devoting yourself to prayer? What kind of things do you need to be praying for? What is the scope of your prayer? Now, again, some things come naturally. They're easy. If something is really, really hurting in your body, nobody needs to tell you, you should put that on your prayer list and get to it, you know, today. No, that's just coming right out. You can skip the whole list thing and you're asking God for mercy and comfort. If something really frightens you, either instant, like on the highway, something really scary just happened, it's really easy to pray. Or this could, you know, I could lose my job, this could happen. It's not so instant, but it's easy to pray. Things that concern you, things that you want to do, physical needs, family, those things come to mind all by themselves, at least some of the time, and so they're easy to pray for. If you're being faithful in your study of the Scripture, if you're faithful in your church, there are going to be times when praise just comes naturally. When your heart is full of the greatness of God, praise just comes out. You're praying to God, giving Him praise out, maybe even realizing that this is prayer. Maybe you're singing to Him, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Sometimes that just comes naturally. And these are good things. But what I want you to see is that the scope of your prayer needs to go beyond those good things that come naturally to include something more. Verse 3, it says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned. Paul is asking specifically that his ministry not be left out of the prayers of the Colossians. This is certainly not the only thing that they're praying for, and his wording indicates that. At the same time, he says, pray for us also. This is not the only thing. This is not necessarily the main thing. This doesn't have to be the first thing. There's a lot of other stuff these guys have got on their minds, but Paul says, don't leave this out either. He's out of sight. He could very easily be out of mind. They don't even know him. If you remember from a couple of weeks ago, we were in this book. Paul had never been there. Somebody else ministered there. Paul got a report. He writes them this letter. So what's going to make them think about Paul and his ministry? But he wants them to. And he's very specific. It's not to be a God bless Paul's ministry just tacked on at the end casually. He wants them to pray very specifically for him to have two things. He wants opportunities to proclaim the truth, and he wants the ability to do it well. He wants to be able to speak forth as he should. Look at verses 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So he wants an opportunity, and then he doesn't want to blow it when he gets it. That's what he's asking for. Paul wants the average person in this church where he's never been to join him in the work of the gospel by praying specifically for what he needs. He wants for them to be praying, that he would have opportunity, and that he would be able to articulate the gospel effectively when the opportunity comes. The average ordinary person in this ordinary church where he had not ministered personally. Now, it's very easy for us to forget that we have a role in accomplishing what God is doing in faraway places through other Christians. We have a part in that. And one of the most significant parts of that we have is prayer. God could easily do his work without involving any human beings. He could just save people and that's it. You know, nobody needs to tell anybody anything. That's not how he chose to do it. He chose to use human instruments. And so we serve other people, and God breaks down their resistance to the truth. We proclaim the truth, and God works in a person's heart to make them receptive to the truth and save them. We pray for others to be granted ability, and suddenly they get a lot better at what they do in the Lord's service. That's what Paul is asking for. The people in a faraway place from him would be involved in the ministry of the gospel, in the work that he is doing by lifting him up in prayer, because this is God's design for how the gospel is to go to the whole world. Does the scope of your prayer go that far? Are you being strategic? Are you being specific in your prayers? Do you recognize that you are to participate in the worldwide work of the gospel? When you pray for Travis and Laura Sawyer, say these things. What an opportunity they have, and people are receptive to the gospel there the way they're not right now here. More of them are. They need so much to be able to articulate the truth and to find those opportunities, those tender hearts that God is drawing. We're to pray for the spread of God's word all around the world. We can pray for the effective proclamation through those that God has spread out around the world and expect God to hear that and answer it. You're a part of his chosen means, and your prayers are one of the ways that God spreads his gospel around the world through people who are in all sorts of strange places. So be devoted to prayer. Remember the scope of prayer. And in verses 3 and 4, there's also another reminder regarding prayer. This is an underlying assumption that we must not miss. And this third reminder involves the need for prayer. The need for prayer. Now, sometimes when we would use that word, we think about we need to pray. You know, or maybe our prayer life is motivated primarily by guilt sometimes. I need to pray more. I need to be better at this. I need to spend more time with this. That's not the need that I'm talking about this morning. What I mean to say is that there are things that can only be accomplished by God himself. And prayer is the way that we're involved in what God is doing. And so we need to ask him for these things to be done. Only God can save a soul. Only God can cause his word to awaken a heart. Only God can provide the people and the resources for ministries to be able to flourish. God opens doors of opportunity. God eliminates opposition. God frustrates spiritual enemies. God brings real success that lasts forever. And we need to ask him to do those things because those things don't happen apart from him. That's why prayer is needed. Paul is not relying on his skill as an orator or on his ability as a persuader of men or on his status as an apostle. He is asking God to bless, and he is asking churches all over the world to join in that asking God to bless. He wants what only God can give. And so he enlists the prayers of God's children everywhere. Paul believes only God can grant what he wants and that God involves his children in granting these things. He has conviction that this is God's means of working in this world. And without prayer, nothing will be accomplished. We need to ask God to do what only God can do. What do you want to see God do? What do you want to see him do in your family? What do you want to see him do in your church? What do you want to see him do in your community, your neighborhood? For the church, this same request would do very well. We would love to have more opportunities for the word and the ability to articulate it well when the opportunities come. If we want that for our church, we better be praying that for our church. We should be praying this way for our missionaries. What's the use of having missionaries and supporting them if we're not asking God to grant them success? Even without a language barrier and a culture barrier and all the other difficulties of living in a foreign land, even if there were no difficulties at all, God still is the only one who can open a heart to the gospel. So this is what Paul was asking for, that he would have opportunities, that he would be able to make it clear when he was the way he ought to speak. Hard to find the words. We expect them to come out with clarity and power. We need to be asking God to give that. We can be praying this way for ourselves. You want something eternal, of eternal value to be accomplished in your life, in your family? Ask. We need what only God can give, so we need to ask him. But that's his design, that you would ask, that he would grant it. We're to pray. We're to go to him and ask. Jesus even challenged us by saying, you do not have because you do not ask. James said that and said, you ask with the wrong motives. So be devoted to prayer. Remember the scope of prayer. And remember the need for prayer. And while you remember all of that, remember that you have a part in what God is accomplishing. Not just here, but all around the world. So back to that standard from James 5:16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I wonder, when we get to heaven, what will we find that our prayers have accomplished? Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. And we pray that we would be better at it, even though it does come naturally now, that we would grow in our ability, that we would be intentional and diligent and steadfast and specific in praying for the kind of things that we know you're doing in this world and delight to do. I pray we would be a faithful congregation. We would be faithful individually. And I pray that your word would do its work in us to encourage us and to strengthen us and to challenge us according to our need. In all this, Father, we look to you and we thank you for your goodness in Christ. We pray your blessings in his name. Amen.